It's very nice to be again with you here in Grove City and to tell you a little bit tonight about missionary work. You have already heard quite a bit when you listened to Brother Hilbert and Brother Wim Meinen the other evening. So tonight, a little different perspective on missionary work, a different country, about India. And I would like to tell you a little bit how the work evolved over time. And we start actually quite a bit back, namely at the time of the apostles, and then we move forward to the present. If you have questions during this short presentation, please feel free to interrupt me. It's better to ask immediately than at the end. Okay? I want to use really India as an illustration how the work evolved and tell you first of all a few details about the country which are not known to everybody, so just that you can correctly see the context. If you go to the next one, please. So Brother Hilbert and Wim Meinen talked about Africa, and here you see Africa, its size. And you see India, and you see the size of Africa is nearly 10 times bigger, it's a full continent, than India. But in India live more people than in all Africa together. Just to give you an idea about the population density in that country, it's just enormous. And when you come there, come into the big cities, it's just overwhelming the number of people you see. It's unbelievable. They have cities with more than 20 million people, and it's really, really dense. So on the next slide, if you click once more, please, I have just now put a little comparison with the United States, and you see from the numbers that the United States are about 3 times larger than India, and from point of view of population, it's about 4 times less. So again, if you look at the numbers, the population density in this country is about 10 times less than in India. Just imagine where you live, you have 10 times more people. Then you have an idea about this country. And we are here as believers, and we have a desire that the gospel is preached and that unbelievers, also people in these countries, hear the gospel. And you see there's a big, big task God has given us to spread the gospel also to people in India. I've put a few more details here. Those who are working in economy, they understand these numbers quickly. But you see the gross domestic product of the United States is much, much larger than of India. As a consequence, if you take it per capita, you see that obviously people are earning much more money in this country than it's the case there. So a consequence is much, much poverty as well in the country. And in addition, I point out here, and I put a little graph in relation to literacy, because often that goes also together. But In India, the rate of literacy is increasing quite a bit. About 40 years ago, as you can see from the graph, if you go back to about 1970, only, let's say, 35% of the population was able to read and to write. Today, it doubled, which is nice. And you are here, many young people. You go to school, you can learn, you can read and write. That's not obvious in India, but it improves also with time. And that is also one aspect of the work we are doing. And I will show you a few pictures afterwards that it is important that the young people also are able to read. And our desire is, of course, first of all, that they are able to read their Bibles. How could they understand otherwise the gospel and grow in their faith if they wouldn't be able really to understand the wonderful message God has for us So there's good progress in that respect, and that is definitely nice. You see also from the numbers there that normally males, the M stands for males, male boys are a little favorite in terms of going to school than girls. Okay, next one that we can maybe skip, that is too much detail. This is a typical picture when you come to India. I took it when I came for the first time to the country, and was one of the first things I saw. Children just left on the road. It is nothing exceptional. The parents brought the child there in the morning. Normally, they come in the evening, pick it up again. During day, they do some work just to earn a bit of money. They put the child in the shade. It's sleeping there. If someone comes and takes the child away, the parents do not worry too much because they have anyhow not the means to take care for their children. It happens too often. And therefore, I tell you a bit more about the work amongst poor children and orphans at the end. Next one. A few more details about the country. You see, it's a country which is made up of many states. And in this country, many different languages are spoken. Happily, amongst the languages which are quite well known is English, so that allows me also to communicate there, because I don't speak Hindi besides one or two words. And in India, you have in total 21 official languages, but on top of it, many, many, many dialects. And the languages actually are really, really different from each other. In the south of the country, so someone has a pointer. Thank you. Kerala and Tamil Nadu, in these four states, actually they have languages which are called Dravidic languages. And in the north, you have mainly Hindi that is indicated here in green. And these are Indo-Aryan languages. Now, this is maybe too technical, but I just want to mention the following. Indo-Aryan languages are a subgroup of Indo-Germanian languages. And my mother tongue, German, and your mother tongue, English, belongs to that class, Indo-Germanian languages. But what I want to say is the following. English is closer to Hindi, which is spoken in that part of India, than Hindi is to Telugu, spoken in Andhra Pradesh. These are completely different languages, and it's a real challenge to learn them. Just this little detail. Let's go to the next one. As you know, most likely India is a country where most of the people are Hindus, but there are also some Muslims, Christians, and the percentage of Christians is about 3%. It might be a bit higher because these are official numbers and not all the Christians are officially registered as such. So there might be a bit more, but in total, it's about 25 million out of the more than 1.2 billion people living in the country. And these chimneys here, the orange ones indicate the percentage of Hindus. The blue ones are the Christians. You see, in that part of the country, there are relatively more Christians, but the population in general is much less dense than elsewhere. And also here in that part, there are more Christians. And the reason is simply because the first Christians came to Kerala, here in the southwest of the country. Next one. Yes, now we are seeing a little bit how Christianity came to the country, and it came first to Kerala. And actually, I don't know who of you knew that tradition at least says that the Apostle Thomas already came to India. Who of you knew that? It's very interesting, but it's a tradition, and therefore we have to take it with care. But you see, Christianity came rather early to India, and already at that time there were really quite some Hindus, of the high caste in particular, who confessed the Lord Jesus. And then later on there came a certain Thomas from Cana, and this actually was a time when the so-called St. Thomas Christians, as they are called, were established there as a denomination. And this is a denomination of Christians, very much emphasizing traditions. It is really close to the Catholic Church. And you have still a good number of these people, in particular in the south of the country. Now, on the next slide, we come now really to missionary work in the time after the Reformation. And the first missionary who came to India, you see here, this is Bartholomäus Ziegenbalg. The name is a little German, as you might notice from how I pronounce it. A very interesting man. And this is the first missionary I would like to present to you briefly. He came to India, also the south of the country, but this time the southeast, in 1706. If you go to the next slide, I could take this picture a couple of years ago when I went myself to Trankebar, where he came together with Heinrich Plütschau, and they served the Lord there for a couple of years. On the next slide, I've put a few details. First of all, you see here the age of Bartholomäus Ziegenbalg. Can someone tell me how old he got? 37, actually. Before he completed his 37th year, the Lord called him home. 36 he was when he passed away. And he was serving the Lord in India for 13 years. Now, I do not want to glorify that man, as it is done on this stone, but it's absolutely remarkable what he has done for the Lord in these 13 years he was in India serving the Lord. He was the first Protestant missionary. He learned quickly the Tamil language. He was able to preach in Tamil, and he translated even the New Testament into Tamil. That is, of course, very foundational that the Word of God was made available to the people in the country. And it's really remarkable how he was dedicating his life to the Lord and was serving him in this short lifespan. And that reminds us about our lives also. We don't know how old we will get, but this man was really dedicating his life to the Lord and his service from his youth. And I think that is something we should keep in mind. There's a verse in the scriptures, which we could read together briefly. I think it's in Ephesians chapter 5, if I'm not mistaken. Where it says something about how we should use our time. Yes, it says in verse, please, if someone could read Ephesians 5, verse 16. Can you read? Or shall I do it?
Redeeming the time because the days are evil.
Yeah, very short. And that's it. Redeeming the time. That is really what he has done. Of course, he didn't know that the Lord would call him to glory so quickly. But he was really using the time for the Lord. Okay, we go to the next one. Now, anybody knows this person? Oda. Very good. Very good. Have you read his biography? I recommend it. It's a nice biography in the series Heroes of Faith. And I have a few more details about this man. Remarkable servant of the Lord. If you click, please. He is known as the father of modern mission. And he wrote this pamphlet, of which I give the title there, in a time where the mindset of Christians, of true believers, was not at all to reach out with the gospel to the heathen. If you click once more, there were quite some, what I label there, hyper-Calvinist beliefs prevalent at that time. Does anybody know what that means, hyper-Calvinist beliefs? Yes, very good. Please help us.
The basic idea of Calvinism is that God has a list of everyone who'll be a Christian ever, and a hyper-Calvinist is someone who believes nobody should have to do anything because God has a list and he will do all the work to get the Christians on it.
Exactly. Very good. Thank you. If you click once more, you see it there. You know, William Carey, he raised a question in a meeting in 1786. And really, you know, was exercised regarding gospel outreach. And there was another man who said, young man, sit down. When God pleases to convert the heathen, he will do it without your aid or mine. That's it. We have nothing to do. God will take care. God has a list, as you say. Nothing has to be done. That was the mindset at that time. And when William Carey then wrote this pamphlet, that was quite something. And God used it really mightily, and partially due to what he has written, actually a first missionary society has been formed that didn't exist until that time. If you click once more, yes, he was actually one of the founders of the first Protestant Baptist Missionary Society in 1792. And he was then himself also the first missionary who was sent from that society to India. Click once more. Yes, he left the United Kingdom in June 1793. And together with his family, his wife was a bit reluctant. And I don't go into the details. And they arrived in Kolkata November 13. How many months was of a journey? 5 months even. 5 months journey. It went all around Africa. And William Carey, he left the United Kingdom and he never, never returned. He served the Lord in India, as was the case for Bartholomeus Ziegenbalg. You know, when I go to India today, I take the plane. It's for me just the same distance as coming to the United States. It's an 8 hours flight. I arrive. It takes me just 24 hours to get to the place where I want to visit believers. It is so simple. But at that time, it was very, very different. And traveling around, Cape Town, it was really something. And not everybody survived the travel. But they went because they were convinced the Lord wants to use us. Now, I have a few more details about William Carey. We click once more. Yes, he was really very gifted. And we see there that God gave a man like him at his time and gave him a very special task. He was in particularly gifted in relation to languages. And you see that before leaving to India, he mastered Hebrew, Greek, Latin, English, French, Italian, and Dutch.